he addressed the saints, he would always say, "Here we are again. By God's love and mercy, here we are again." Isn't that true? And isn't that lovely? By God's love and mercy, that's how we gather here. We turn to our text, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. And we continue our subject started last Sunday. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, verse 27. I keep my body under. I discipline my body. And that's so important. Personal discipline. That's how we get through school, isn't it? I think of a young lady. She lived across the street from us when we lived up on Foxton Drive. And every morning, this young lady would get into a car at about 7 o'clock and drive off. Regardless of the weather, every morning at 6. You know what we learned? She was going to swimming practice every morning at 6, regardless of the weather. And we learned that in her division, she was state champion. Discipline. Application. And that's what we need, as Paul says, I keep my body under, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I shall myself be a disqualified. Many of your Bibles say cast away. Others say rejected. I like the word disqualified. And we have been considering Samson. He was a Nazarite, called apart, called to separate himself. And while we have not yet gone into detail, one reason why he was disqualified is the fact that he marred his separation. Tonight, we want to consider another aspect of Samson's life. Book of Judges, chapter 13, please. Judges 13 and verse 24. The woman bare a son and called his name Samson. Now, in those days when children were named, they were named, especially the Israelites, with God in view, and the name had significance for that child. Today we give them names that sound good. I think of one man. Imagine a child just born, a male child just born, and you name him Numa Pompilius Garfield Adams. What would you expect from him? He turned out to be dean of the medical school. They hit on a good name for him. What is the meaning of Samson? What does Samson mean? Samson means shining. Do you know anywhere in the life of Samson where he shone? Where he shined out like? Turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in his Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shined while he talked with him. When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shined, and they were afraid to come nigh. Moses shined. I cannot recall anywhere in the life of Samson where he shined. Can you? He did not live up to the standard that God had set for him. And that's another reason why he was disqualified. And what we want to do tonight is to consider the fact that God has given us names. Are we living up to the names that he has given us? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 11. Living up to the names that God has given us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren. That's one of our names. We are brothers and sisters. Chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren. Chapter 14, verse 6. Now, brethren. There's several others here. I think we get the thought. We are known by God as brethren. Now, what's the chief characteristic of brothers and sisters? The sisters are included in that term. Book of Genesis, please. Chapter 13. Brethren. What's the significance of that term? Verse 8. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? We are brethren. No strife. Peace and harmony should characterize brethren. And I believe that's true of this assembly. There's harmony and there is peace. Thank the Lord. Chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Verse 24. Joseph sent his brethren away, and they departed. He said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. He knew his brothers. They couldn't decide whether to kill him or sell him. He said, don't fall out now, your brothers. Don't fall out. And that beautiful psalm that we know so well, 133. Psalm 133. Verse 1. Behold. And every time I read the word behold, I'm reminded of a brother in New York. You see, in New York, the area where I grew up, you had people from the southern part of the United States, and you had people from the Caribbean islands. My folks were from the Caribbean islands. Now, the folks from the Caribbean islands had an English background, and they understood the Bible in Old English. The local people didn't. And I remember one morning a brother got up, the family Bible out, behold the Lamb of God. And he said, do you know what behold means? Behold means stop, look, and listen. I don't think that Webster can better that. Behold. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oneness should characterize brethren. Harmony should characterize brethren. First Corinthians chapter 6. Harmony, oneness should characterize brethren. First Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge one another for the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge. Do you set them to judge who are least among you? I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not one that should be able to judge between his brethren, and so forth. Oneness and harmony should characterize brethren. But every once in a while, something happens. And when that something happens, we are not to go to the courts. I remember in New York, as I often say, most of my past experiences took place in New York. A young man in fellowship acted very unwisely and had to be disciplined. And he said to the elders, I'm going to my lawyer. I'll take this up with my lawyer. Believers don't do that. We settle among ourselves as before the Lord. I think of another case. Elderly brother. Good singing voice. Good preacher of the gospel and a good minister of the word. And he was ill. There was some misunderstanding between him and his brethren. And his brethren came to him on his sick bed. He was very ill. And his brethren said to him, Brother, you're quite ill. We have had a misunderstanding for some time. It is evident that you're going to be with the Lord quite soon. Let us get together and see if we can settle this matter now. Don't you think that was nice? Isn't that the way brethren should get along? What do you think his brother said? I will wait for the judgment seat of Christ and let Christ settle it. And then he died 2 weeks later. Very sad. Harmony should characterize brethren. There is another name by which believers are called. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called what? Saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. And there are other scriptures. You can check them at home. We are saints. What is a saint? A saint is one that is separated unto God from sin. To God from sin. That's the chief characteristic of a saint. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, please. Verse 9. A saint separated to God from sin. Chapter 3 of 1 John, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doesn't practice sin. That's a saint. chapter 5, verse 18. Whosoever that is born of God does not practice sin. We are saints. We don't practice sin. Now, I didn't say we don't sin, because in this same 1 John we see that we do sin. But we don't practice and willfully go out and sin. Saints. Again, many years ago, in New York City, I was an intern at a certain hospital, and I was called to take care of a patient. After taking care of the patient, the nurse said to me, "The Pope made so-and-so a saint. Isn't that wonderful?" She said, "It must be wonderful to be a saint." I said, "It sure is." Well, she looked at me. She said, "How would you know?" I said, "I am a saint." Well, she was ready to call a psychiatrist. She thought that I had lost it. At that time, on every nurse's desk, there was a King James Bible, the old King James. And with the help of the Lord, I took that King James Bible and showed her that Arthur Garnes was a saint. And I showed her how she could be a saint. We are saints because we have been saved and born again through the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints. Certain things characterize saints. They are reverent. They are humble. They are devoted to God. They are dedicated to God. And they're separated from sin. We are saints. Not made by the Pope. I wonder if he's going to heaven. I wonder if he's a saint. The one that died recently and even the one that's there now. But thank the Lord, we are saints. Are we living like saints? Do we practice sin? Another name. 1 Thessalonians, please. First Thessalonians, chapter 1. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. We have seen that we are brethren. We are saints. Now, Samson did not live up to his name. Are we living up to our names? Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe. Now, if you look into that verse carefully, you find that saints and believers are quantified. A saint is a believer. Let's check that a little bit. Acts chapter 2. We are not only saints, we are believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. We are brethren, we are saints, and we are believers. Verse 44 of Acts 2, all that believed were together. Chapter 4, verse 32. The multitude of them that believed. Chapter 5, verse 14. Believers were the more added to the Lord. We are believers. What did the believers believe? What do the believers believe? Luke chapter 1. Verse Verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. What are the things most surely believed by believers? What do the believers believe? I hope we all believe the same thing. In fact, I'm sure we do. And some time ago, I copied out some of the things that we believe. The divine inspiration of the Bible. Everybody here believe that? This book was divinely inspired. And there is a fascinating thing about the Bible. Forty different men wrote the Bible. You can't find three men today that write a book and all and agree. And take the Congress of the United States, they don't agree on anything. You can't even get two of them to agree. And 40 different men wrote this book, and they all agreed. And they lived 1,500 years apart. So Paul never saw Moses, never talked to him. John never talked to Ezekiel. Peter never talked to Daniel. And yet they all wrote and everybody agreed. How do you explain that? Oh, beloved. There's not another book like this one. 40 different men. Oh, by the way. No women. What does that mean? God doesn't like women? No. There is a divine reason. Check it when you go home. Why God used only 40 men. There is a reason why there were never any female priests. Not because God doesn't like women. Have some noble women in the scriptures. Read what Ruth said to her mother-in-law. Oh, that was masterful. I don't know of any one man that ever uttered words like those. Where you go, I will go. Your God shall be my God. I will die. Oh. You'd think a man was saying that. It was a woman. And then again, when you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25, Abigail, what a brilliant woman. She married Nabal. I've often said to myself, I don't know who arranged that marriage or how it was arranged. Here is a refined, cultured woman, and she's married to a rude, crude, and uncouth man. And there's some other women. But there is a reason why God used men only to write the book. There were no female priests. They were 1,500 years apart. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament was a period of 400 years. And yet, those that wrote in the Old Testament and those that wrote in the New, they all agree. Who could do that but God? And a couple of them were kings. Some were very learned. Moses, he was very learned. Paul was learned. Dr. Luke was learned. Peter and John, I don't know that they went very far in school. But God used them all. It's wonderful how God worked, is it not? One was a physician. Several of them were farmers, shepherds, and they all wrote one book. And one of the things that we as believers believe, God wrote this book. I remember a brother saying, he said, I like the Bible. In fact, he says, I love the Bible. And then he said, I love the covers of the Bible because they keep the pages together. That's some love, isn't it? I'm sure we all love our Bibles that way. And we cherish our Bibles, the Word of God. The believers believed that the Bible was the Word of God. The believers believed that there was one God. Brother George and I have been discussing that recently. Read it in Isaiah. I am the Lord. There is no God besides me. What about Buddha and those other fellows? As you read in the Psalms, they don't talk. They don't see. They don't hear. One true God, the God of the Bible. And that's what they believe. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was very God and very man. Hard to understand, isn't it? Now, when you say he was very man, he was a man just as you see me here, a man. But he was not such a man as I am. He was without sin, knew no sin, and had no sin, and yet he was God. You say, I can't figure it out. God didn't ask you to figure it out. He said, believe it. And that's the trouble with many men today. I know a lady. I don't see how this can be so. I don't understand this. God didn't ask you to understand. And besides, I said to her, and this was not original with me, do you understand how a black cow eats green grass and produces white milk? Anybody here understand that? I don't understand it, but I drink milk. Another man said, I don't understand anything that I can't see. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, well, have you ever seen the back of your head? He said, no. Well, then you don't have a back of a head. God didn't ask us to understand anything. He said, believe. And that's what we have done. We believe, the believers believe the Word of God. We believe that all believers are priests. That's why we don't have any chief elder and chief this and chief the other. We're all one in Christ. All believer priests with equal access to the Father. You know something else we believe? That the Lord Jesus Christ actually came up from the dead and is in heaven. Some people say, I can't believe that. I don't see how it can happen. God didn't ask you to see. He said, believe. And I want to tell you, I believe it. And the evidence is great. Now, how many people do you need in court to bear witness to a fact? The Bible tells us in the mouths of two or three witnesses. After his resurrection, the Lord was seen by over 500 people, and at one time, 250 were still alive. You want better proof than that? We also believe that he's coming again. I tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to that. I refer to them as the boys, the rules. The more I listen to them, it seems to me they don't know what they're doing. They can't agree. They're all killing out each other. Killed some just yesterday out in Jordan. Still killing in Iraq, in Afghanistan, all over the place. Killing, killing, killing. Oh, beloved, we need to pray for the rulers and those in authority. Pray for the president. The Bible tells us to do that, too. He needs our prayers. What else do the believers believe? The church. What is the church? You often hear people say, I'm going to church. And they're talking about a building. The church is not the building. The church is us, people. Born again, saved, believers, going to heaven. That's what the church is. And these are some of the things that we believe. But we go a little further. It's 5 to 8. Would you give me 10 minutes? I hope I can do this in 10 minutes. The next one. Oh, I have two here. Well, I'll take just one. Acts chapter 11. Another name for those that are born again. Brethren, saints, believers, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. It came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now note, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Please note they didn't call themselves Christians. What do they call you? What do they call me? What does my neighbor call me? They were called. They did not call themselves. I want to emphasize that. What do they call us? I'm not boasting. I don't want to boast. But one of the greatest compliments that I've had in my life. A lady came to the office. I had never seen her before. There were no tracts on the table and no posters on the wall. Asked her the usual question, you know all those foolish questions that doctors ask. And then I examined her, and then I made a recommendation. Now, I'm not boasting of myself. As she was going out the door, she said, "Doctor, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Yes, what is it?" "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And I was humble. She said, "I thought so." Every time I think of it, I tremble. She could tell from a medical examination that I was a Christian. What do they call you, beloved? What do your neighbors call you? A neighbor of mine recently, I never told him. We talked in general, but I never spoke particularly about spiritual matters. And I said to him, "You look very sad. What's the trouble?" He said, "My father died. Please pray for me." Who told him that I prayed? What do they call you? At school? What do they call you at work? Oh, by the way, what do your children call you? Very important. Another instance. In Detroit. Brother Ken Hampton, he was down here on one occasion. My wife and I, he and his wife, we went to eat. And the young lady that was serving us, I said to Ken, "Do you know her?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, she's different from all the rest." She had the same uniform. Served just the other. But I said, "There's something different about her. I don't know what it is." He says, "Well, I don't know." She came to the table. I said, "Young lady, I want to ask you a personal question. What church do you go to?" She mentioned the name of the church, and it was one of the assemblies. "Are you in fellowship there?" "Yes." Serving at a table, and I could tell that she was a Christian. They were called Christians. They did not call themselves Christians. And again I ask, what do they call me? What do they call you in school? Oh, they used to laugh at me. "Oh, he doesn't drink, he doesn't dance, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do anything." Oh my. Well, that's part of the picture too, you know, bearing reproach. We'll come to that in another study. My granddaughter was in fourth grade. And one day I said, "Kim, what are you doing in school? What's school like?" Oh, we have reading and we have writing. But Grandpa, our music teacher, he's a real Christian. Fourth grade. What did he teach? Patriotic songs. And you know the songs that children sing? In the North Sea lived the whale, big in bone and large in tail. That sort of thing. He didn't teach any hymns or spiritual songs. I had occasion to meet him. And I want to tell you, that man was a Christian. And a young girl in fourth grade could tell by his behavior that he was a Christian. Isn't that great? That's some standard. And again I ask, what do they call you, beloved? Where you work? Where you live? The neighborhood that you're in? What do they call you? Do they call you a Christian? Do they know that you are a believer? They know that you are a member of Brothers and Sisters? Reminds me, this just came to mind. One of the saints was in one of the hospitals where I work. She had both legs amputated, one done and more recently the other. Both amputated above the knee. At that hospital, in the operating room, was a nurse in fellowship in the assembly. That morning, the nurse came down to see Mrs. Beckles. I'll call her name. And then Mrs. Beckles said to the charge nurse, the charge nurse said to me, I think Mrs. Beckles is psycho. I have the papers here for you to sign. I said, well, what happened? She said, Mrs. Roach came down from the operating room, and Mrs. Beckles said, she is my sister. And then she said, and Dr. Garnes is my brother. She's psycho. I said, no, you don't understand. She's all right. In fact, she's in good mind. Nothing wrong with her mind. She's got a good mind. Brethren, sisters in the Lord, Christians. I think I've given enough examples, but I'll give another one. We called the air conditioner man. He came, his truck, his uniform. But the way the man acted, the way he spoke, the way his whole behavior, there's something different about this man. And before he left, I said, tell me, what church do you go to? And he told me, I said, are you a believer? Are you saved? He said, yes. I could tell by the man's behavior. He didn't say a word. I remember when we were out in Yosemite there to the conference, my wife and I forget the name of the brother that was responsible for the conference. But anyhow, somebody raised a hand and asked, how do we identify ourselves? And this brother said, well, if you want, you can walk around holding up a Bible to identify yourselves. But I suggest that you just behave like a believer. Behave like a Christian. My wife and I knew nobody there. We went to lunch. I gave thanks. Brother George and I often talk about that. We go to eat from time to time. It's amazing how many people don't give God thanks for the food that they eat. I gave thanks. And a lady came over and said, I noticed that you gave thanks for your food. Are you with the group there at the conference? We said, yes. Said, well, how did you get here? What means of transportation do you have? I said, well, we came by plane and to see Yosemite, and if you ever have a chance to see it, go and see it. So we just take the bus and ride around, see what's there. She said to me, I live not far from here. I have a car. Here are the keys. Use it whenever you want. You talk about Christian fellowship. The boys used to tell me, you should join a fraternity. I said, why should I join a fraternity? Well, wherever you go, you have a brother. I said, I've got that already. That sister manifested it. I'm over time. I'm going to stop. One more. New York City. Went on medical business in one of those skyscrapers. You know those things that they have, those buildings going all the way up in the air? I was on the 22nd floor. Went on medical business. Didn't have my Bible. Didn't have a testament. The young lady waited on me. And again, I thank the Lord. It wasn't I. She said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes. How does she know? Only God knows. We are believers. What do we believe? Do we practice what we believe? We sing a lot of hymns. Do we practice what we sing? I was looking at some of the hymns that we sing sometimes. All the world for Jesus. Do we tell the world about Jesus? And many of the hymns that we sing, we really don't mean. We don't practice them. Let's sing in closing, please. 548. Take my life and let it be. Because he didn't live up to his name. And we have names. We are brethren. We are saints. Yes, we really are saints. We are Christians. We are believers. There are a couple more, but we'll get to them at another time. Let us live up to the names that God has given us. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we bow in thy blessed presence with thanksgiving. Thankful that we are on the way to heaven, thankful that we are saved, thankful for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Thou hast been the silent listener to thy servant this evening. Bless thy word to each one, we pray, to the speaker first and to those who heard. We think again of those that are sick, by reason of sickness cannot be with us, we bring them to thee. We think of our sister recently gone to be with the Lord and her testimony. She's with the Lord. Dismiss us now with thy blessing resting upon us as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.